Happy Friday to all of you Whistler fans. This is your host, Mel, and I'm bringing another episode to you for commentary and a little facts here and there about the actors or writers. Today's episode is The Thin Line. It was originally broadcast January 7th, 1946. And let's go ahead and meet our players for tonight's episode. Mark Mailer. Mark is what I would consider a weak man. He married Emma for her money. Mark is restless. He's bitter and angry because they had to leave the California coast for the dry desert air because his wife was suffering from health issues, primarily asthma. He hates the sand. He hates the emptiness. And he despises the cage that he built for himself. And Emma Mailer, Mark's wife, she's wealthy and 57 years old. She was once beautiful, but now she's developed a sharpness about her and she's very shrewd. She knows her marriage is a transaction, companionship type of exchange for fortune after her death, but she suspects Mark's wandering eye, which she would be correct in that. And then we have Artis Mayo, Emma's companion for just about 5 months, not very long, but she's already stirring up plenty of trouble. She's young, she's beautiful, and dangerously persuasive. She's also having an affair with Mark. She's cold, she's calculating, just your perfect villain. But she's also pretty confident and she knows how to work Mark and twist him around her finger. And we have those three people. They're all bound together in a miserable desert house. There's love, money, and quite a lot of lies. And in the middle of it all, a man who doesn't realize he's standing on the very edge of a thin line. And just a fun fact for you guys, in these old thrillers, the desert often worked as a metaphor, like empty, suffocating, no place to hide. And it's no coincidence that Hollywood film noir loved deserts too. They actually had a name for it called desert noir. They weren't just settings. They were like a pressure cooker for human weakness. So with that being said, let's go ahead and start the episode, The Thin Line.
That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
I am The Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. Rated by independent research, the most popular program on the West Coast. Remember, let every traffic signal remind you, with new Signal gasoline, you do go farther than ever. Look for the familiar big yellow and black circle sign that identifies those popular Signal service stations in 7 western states from Canada to Mexico. And now the Whistler's strange story, The Thin Line.
It's a thin line that separates infatuation from hate, so thin and fragile that one can change into the other in a split second. Mark Mailer would agree now that the line is a thin one, if Mark were alive. But he didn't discover it until too late. That was the trouble with Mark. He always discovered things too late. When he discovered that marrying an old woman for her money doesn't lead to happiness, it was too late. When he discovered he was in love with Artis Mayo, her pretty companion, it was too late.
Too late, Mark. There's nothing you can do.
Of all the places people go for asthma, she has to pick this dried-up jerkwater town in the desert. Well, I'm going to put my foot down, Artis.
I said it's too late. She's taken a lease on this place for 6 months, and she's going to stay here. But why did you agree in the first place?
Well, did I know it was going to be like this?
You really fell for the travel folders, didn't you, dear? A romantic mining town, the essence of the old West.
Yeah, that's a laugh. Why didn't you say something?
Well, you're the head of the family, darling. I only work here.
Oh, sand. Everywhere you look, sand. Sand in your eyes, in your ears, in your teeth. Oh, what a trap.
Well, there's no use fretting about it. Emma won't leave.
No, Emma won't leave. Her asthma. Always, day in, day out, her asthma. The climate's good for her.
Ah, but you love her.
Ah, but I don't. Don't needle me. I've had all I can take.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're sorry. Well, there's one consolation. She can't last forever.
And neither can you. I'll bet she hits 90.
Is that par for the course? Mm,
with women like Emma, it is.
Hmm. I thought I was being smart when I married her.
Well, you met me, darling. Doesn't that mean anything?
Oh, I know it. That does mean a lot.
Well?
Well, what?
Well, what are you going to do about it?
What can I do?
Sometimes you disappoint me.
Why?
Oh, skip it.
Oh, now look, Artis.
Why do you keep complaining about it, Mark? That's all you've done for the past 6 months, and it won't do you any good.
I'm open to suggestions.
Well, it's time you started thinking for yourself.
Maybe I'm not so bright. All I know is she wants to live here. And when I think of her bank account, I don't feel like arguing.
Do you want me to draw you a diagram?
Maybe you better.
Now, you'd better think about it for a while. I've got to go into town and get a prescription.
Oh, I'll go with you.
No.
Well, why not?
Well, it doesn't look right.
But I don't see why.
There's such a thing as being discreet. I'll go alone.
Oh, great. The old brush off.
Don't be stupid. Now, just relax and think. It'll be a new experience for you.
Artis has given you something to think about, hasn't she, Mark? That's the way Artis is, always suggesting, never coming right out with a flat statement. And there's something about her that makes you listen. Maybe it's the way she handles those foreign-looking eyes. Maybe it's the way she walks, the graceful, capable way she does everything. Maybe it's just because she's Artis Mayo and she can twist you around a little finger. She is beautiful, isn't she? Maybe that's it. She's such a complete opposite of Emma, your wife.
That you, Mark?
Yeah, it's me.
Where have you been?
Out riding.
Alone?
Well, who would I be with?
Oh, you've been riding a lot lately, Mark.
What else can you do in this blasted country?
Oh, why do you talk like that? You know what upsets me? With my asthma...
I thought this place was supposed to fix your asthma.
We haven't been here long enough.
You talk about me being unreasonable. You want me to stay here and rot just because you can't catch your breath once in a while.
Mark, we've been over all this before. I'm going to stay until I've given the place a fair trial.
Well, that could be years. You know what it's doing to me, don't you?
Mark, I'd give in to you if I could. But I can't stand living along the coast. You know that.
I wonder.
You wonder what?
I wonder if your asthma's the real reason we left California. There's no community property law in this state.
Mark, how can you be so unfair? I'm ill.
I am, too. I'm sick of this place.
And sick of me.
No, I didn't say that.
But you think it, don't you, Mark?
Now, what are you trying to do? Put words in my mouth?
Mark, when we were married, I realized that it wasn't a normal thing to do. You really seemed sincere when you told me that you weren't the type to be happy with a woman your own age. So I went through with it. But now everything's changed. You're disagreeable and unkind.
Well, I'm irritable because of this filthy country. Look at this place. Nothing but sand and heat. And nights with no sound of that wind. And you suffer because I go off the handle once in a while.
There's more to it than that.
Oh, now what?
You said you were out riding alone this afternoon. You weren't telling me the truth, Mark. You were riding with Artis. You've been riding with her quite often. You've fallen in love with her, haven't you? Well, in a way, I suppose it was my fault. I should have known better than to hire such an attractive girl as a companion.
Look, I don't want to talk.
You've got to talk about it. Our marriage was a bargain, Mark. You owe me something too, dear, in return for a promise of security. A promise that when I go, you'll have everything.
I'm not kicking about our marriage, Em. It's just living here that's driving me crazy.
I doubt it. You were conscious of her while we were living in California. I've been hoping that it was one of those affairs that would die out. But it hasn't. And I've lost your companionship.
Oh.
You've made me feel miserable and undignified. You made me feel as though I don't want to go on living.
Oh, now don't go into hysterics.
Oh, how can I help?
Well, just take it easy. All right. If it'll make you any happier, I'll stop riding with Artis.
It's going to take more than that, Mark. There's only one way to straighten out this situation. I'm going to let Artis go.
You can't do that.
It's the only way to settle it. And nothing is going to change my mind.
Think what you're doing. Artis is... Oh, what's the matter? Don't you trust me? Can't you take my word?
No, Mark. I don't trust you. I'm doing this for my own peace of mind.
Well, I won't hold still for it, Em. It isn't fair to Artis. Oh, why can't you be sensible? Why can't you...
It's no use, Mark. I'm letting Artis go. And if you don't like it, you can go too.
All right. All right, I will.
Mark. You don't mean that.
I'm in love with Artis. I may as well admit it. If she goes, I go.
Mark. How can you be so cruel?
How can you be such a stubborn old fool?
Oh, get her. I don't want you near me anymore.
Oh, get out!
Well, Mark, that does it. It's over now. The 2 years of your life you've gambled are wasted. Emma and her fortune are out of the picture, aren't they? You keep telling yourself it's just as well, that it was a mistake from the start, that you were a fool to think you'd get something for nothing. You can forget about your conversation with Artis this morning. There's no need for that now. At least you're free. There'll be an efficient Nevada divorce, then you and Artis can forget it. Yes, Mark, you're still on the same side of that thin line, aren't you? There's nothing in the world now, except Artis.
That's all she said?
Yeah. Get out, period.
Well, what are you going to do?
Get out. What do you think?
Well, it seems rather foolish. You think she'll give you a divorce?
Of course, why not?
You don't know her. Listen, Mark, she'll hang around your neck until the day she dies.
Wait a minute, Artis.
Don't argue with me, Mark. I know her like a book.
Look, if you're talking about the money, I don't care.
Well, I do. You know, Mark, Emma's a very unhappy woman. She suffers a lot and, well, in a way, it would be a blessing if... Well, if...
If what?
There is a way, Mark.
Stop talking in riddles. Now, I tell you, she's through with me. As a matter of fact, I'm glad of it. She can take her pot of gold and find herself another husband.
She will if you're stupid enough to let her.
If you're suggesting I go back to her, you're just wasting your time.
I'm not suggesting you go back to her.
Huh?
I said there's a way, Mark. She's old, infirm, and you're her beneficiary.
Artis, you mean... Why, no, I couldn't, Artis.
Oh, shut up.
But listen, well, murder's one
thing. Oh, you listen. Now, you can take your choice. Emma can have a nice, respectable automobile accident on her way to town. Or I leave tonight, alone.
Serious.
I was never more serious in my life.
We never get away with it. There'll be questions, 1,000 of them. The whole town knows about you
and me. So what? We'll throw it in their teeth. So we love each other. So Emma gets despondent and commits suicide.
Oh, people don't commit suicide by running automobiles into ditches.
Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. There was one last year, and I know the exact place. All right. What is it, Mark? Is it Emma or me?
Well, Artis, I... Well, give me time to think.
There's no time to think.
But killing her, I...
All right. Goodbye, Mark.
Oh, wait a minute, Artis. I...
Well?
All right.
Good.
When?
Tonight.
¶¶
the prologue of tonight's story, The Thin Line, the Signal Oil Company is bringing you another strange story by The Whistler. But now, what's the latest information about that new car you've been waiting for? Well, due to various reconversion problems, instead of the 500,000 new cars manufacturers had expected to produce by now, only 75,000 were actually made. You know what that means. That old car will no doubt be with us much longer than we counted on. It's going to take much better care than cars ever needed before if parts that have already gone so far must stand up under still more mileage. Just lubrication won't be enough. It'll take expert lubrication by a man who knows cars and is conscientious about getting every part, giving it its full share of the exact lubricant it needs, and never missing a single one. And where can you find such a man? Why, right at that friendly station in your neighborhood, wearing Signal's yellow and black circle sign. You see, because your Signal dealer is in his own business, he has naturally made car care his specialty. And because he wants to stay in business permanently, he does the kind of job he's proud to stand back of. The kind of job that will keep you his steady customer. That's why your Signal man is a mighty good man for you to know now, when you really want your car to go farther. Now, back to the Whistler.
Well, Mark, the combination was too much for you. The dull, dry monotony of a desert town, your complaining middle-aged wife, and artist Mayo. That's the big reason why you agreed to commit murder, isn't it? You forgot about the money and the desert. Nothing seemed important except artists. And you found yourself agreeing before you knew what was happening. But you're beginning to waver now, with the desert wind wailing outside the window as you stand over Emma's bed with artists.
Well, it's over.
Listen to her heart.
She's alive, still beating.
Well, let's get her out of here before she comes to.
Wait a minute, Artis. Now, we're not going to get away with this. They'll catch up with us, I tell
oh,
you.
Shut up, Mark. It's too late now. Get a hold of yourself. You are going through with this. Do you hear me? Come on now, help me.
All right, Artis. Well, is this the place?
Wait a minute. Yes. Yes, it's a 100-foot drop over that bank. Come on, get out.
All right.
I'll take her feet.
Okay.
No, no, put your arm under her shoulders. Under. Yes, careful now. Now into the front seat.
Right.
Easy. There. Oh. Don't let her fall on the steering wheel, you fool.
I'm sorry. Okay. Now what?
Fingerprints. Give me your handkerchief.
Handkerchief. Oh, here.
Takes care of the steering wheel. Now, clamp her hands on the wheel in the driving position so it'll be her fingerprints in case anyone should get snoopy.
Hands are cold. Okay.
All right. All right, now put it in gear. Start it rolling and jump.
Look, are you sure everything's...
Oh, of course I'm sure. Hurry up.
All right. Okay, here goes.
To do it? Come on.
Well, what do you mean?
We're going down to check up.
A very thorough girl, isn't she, Mark? The car is deep in the gulch. The one light still burning shows that. And you scramble down to it. The wreckage is quite satisfying, isn't it? And inside it is Emma Naylor.
How about it?
She's dead, all right.
It's... quiet down here, isn't it? Don't have that blasted wind whipping around.
Let's go back.
Where?
To the house, to phone into town and inquire about Emma. She's been gone a long time, and we're worried about her. Then we come back here and we find her.
We find her? Why not let them find her?
With the ground full of our footprints up on the road and all around the car? Oh, no, Mark. We do the finding.
Never thought about that. Guess I better let you run things, hadn't I?
That's a good idea. Oh, and Mark.
Yeah?
I'll be staying at the hotel for the sake of appearances.
Well, but when can...
That's going to take time, Mark. There'll be an autopsy, an inquest, and then, well, maybe in 6 months or so.
Yeah. Look, Artis, I'm sorry I busted up on you. I guess you're right after all. It wasn't so tough at that.
You're all set, aren't you, Mark? You've decided all your nervousness was imagination. You can hardly wait now to get away from the desert and start your new life with Artis. Even the sheriff is cooperative. He seems to feel genuinely sympathetic, and he's very quick to explain that the questions are merely for the record.
You know how it is, Mr. Naylor, just routine.
Sure, I know. I'll tell you everything I possibly can.
How old was Mrs. Naylor?
57.
I believe you said she came here for her health.
That's right.
How long had you and Mrs. Naylor been married?
Oh, 11 months.
And did you know her very long before that?
About a year.
Year. How'd you happen to meet Mrs. Naylor?
Well, I was selling burial plots, and she was one of my prospects.
You didn't continue with that line of business, did you, Mr. Naylor?
Well, no. After we were married, my wife wanted me to devote all my time to her.
I see. Now, Miss Mayo, how long were you in Mrs. Naylor's employ?
Oh, it must have been about 5 months.
You were working for her before she came here, then?
Yes.
Have you always done this line of work, Miss Naylor?
Oh, I've done it for quite a while.
How many other people did you work for before you were employed by Mrs. Naylor?
Oh, there were several.
Are you married, Miss Mayo?
No. No, I'm not.
Have you ever been married?
Yes, I'm a widow.
Well, I guess that'll do for now, folks.
Well, you'll probably think up something else for us later on.
Yeah. You'll probably be finding me quite a pest. You know how it is.
Oh, sure. We know how it is.
Well, better be getting back to town. I'll see you later, folks.
Goodbye. You never told me you'd been married.
Never occurred to me to tell you.
Well, I thought I knew everything about you. This is a new slang.
Oh, you're not going to pout about it, are you? You never told me you were a tombstone salesman.
I sold burial plots.
What an intriguing way for Emma to meet her future widower.
Don't kid about it. I'm in no mood for
jokes.
Oh,
stop fretting, Mark. Everything is going beautifully.
She's right, isn't she, Mark? Not a hitch so far. Except for an unexplained delay in the inquest. You wait. In the house you and Emma had shared on the edge of town, kept indoors by the heat and the desert wind. There are long hours to kill, all by yourself, with nothing to do but smoke cigarettes and think. Artis is almost a stranger now. She won't see you because of appearances. And on the rare occasions when you are together, there's no feeling of relief at all. Just a kind of nervousness that makes you jump at each other's throats.
Mark, will you shut up? I tell you everything's all right.
Well, then why the delay? This keeps up, I'm going to start talking to myself.
It's only been a few days.
Oh, it's been a week. They're holding it up on purpose, I tell you. They got something.
Oh, they haven't got a thing.
I don't care. I can't stand this much longer.
You've got to.
Oh, look, why couldn't I tell them I've got to run back to the coast on business?
You told the sheriff you'd given up your business.
Well, you could explain
to him. Oh, don't be idiotic. It's out. Oh, listen, Mark. We're almost in now. Let's not start wrangling. Think about where we're going when we get the money. Florida, Miami Beach.
I don't like Florida.
Oh, you'll get over it. You've never seen anything like Miami in the winter.
I said I don't like Florida.
You may as well learn right now that you're not going to get anywhere taking that tone with me.
Well, I don't care what you think. I'm going back to the coast.
Sure you are. The Atlantic coast. Miami Beach.
You know, someday you're not going to get by with that.
What?
That smug, irritating attitude of yours. You think you know all the answers, don't you?
Depends on who's asking the questions.
Now, what do you mean by that?
You answer that one.
Yes, Mark, the line that divides infatuation from hatred is a fine one. And you don't realize you just crossed it. That the groundwork is all prepared for your discovery a few days later of an entry in one of Emma's diaries.
January 18th. Today, I finally decided to take Artis's advice to go to the desert. I know Mark won't approve, but Artis is right after all. My health does come first. That little liar.
lock the door down. Just a minute. What's the matter with you? I told you not to come here.
Close the door.
Now, wait a minute.
I said close the door. Now, go on, sit down. I want to talk to you.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Go on, sit down. All right, since you're an expert on questions and answers, how about this one? Whose idea was it coming to the desert, yours or Emma's?
What's that got to do with...
Shut up. It has everything to do with it. It means you had the whole works planned before we left California. You figured me for a sucker, didn't you, Artis? Yeah, you had the whole picture. Convincing Emma to come here, knowing it'd make me willing to kill her after kicking around in the sand and heat for a few months.
Oh,
don't
you...
argue with me. It's all there in Emma's diary.
What do you mean it's in her diary?
I mean there's enough foundation for some pretty solid guessing. You even had the community property law figured out, didn't you? Yeah, back there I was legally entitled to half her income. Here I don't get a dime. You knew that'd work on me, too, didn't you? Especially with that sand grinding into my brain.
It was Emma's
idea. Oh, don't give me that. You suggested it to her. You kept prodding her until she gave in.
Keep your voice down.
You want to marry me, don't you? Why?
Well, I...
So you can take care of me like you did Emma. That's it, isn't it?
If you don't keep quiet,
I'll... do nothing. And you're not running away from me any longer.
Keep away from
I'll show you who's doing the thinking from now on.
I said keep away from me.
I just want to get my hands on that lily-white neck of yours.
I'm warning you,
you
Mark.
You put down that gun!
Get away from me!
Mark, you let me hear you Johnny. Argue now!
You big baboon.
So it didn't work out, did it, Mark? The thing got a little too complicated for you. You were never cut out for murder. You knew it from the first. And now that it's over, even the sheriff is convinced that you'd be the last person in the world who'd ever think of killing anyone.
But I'm telling you the truth, Sheriff. I shot him in self-defense. Yes, he came into my room in a rage and he tried to kill me.
Now, wait a minute, Miss Mayo. You're not trying to tell me that a spineless little guy like Mark
Naylor...
Oh, Naylor...
but you don't know him.
Don't tell me I don't know him. Why, he'd pass out at the mention of murder. And you're trying to tell me he walked right up to you and tried to kill you with his bare hands while you held a gun on him without any reason?
He had a reason.
What?
Well, I don't know what it was, but...
Oh, you don't know what it was, but you're sure he had one. I guess that'll be all, Miss Mayo.
But, Sheriff...
I said
you...
that'll be all. You can save the rest for your trial in court. I'm holding you for the murder of Mark Naylor.
Whistler will return in just a moment with a strange ending of tonight's story. Meantime, let me ask you a question. Why do you suppose it is that the new 1946 cars are putting so much emphasis on more miles per gallon of gasoline? Is it because folks today are interested in making dollars go farther? Well, yes. But even more, they're interested in the reasons back of that mileage, the improved engineering, the higher compression and better carburation, that make the new cars go farther on each gallon. And there you also have the reason why Signal Oil Company is so proud to announce that you now go farther than ever with new Signal gasoline. You see, that increased mileage is the result of power, amazing new power, the same power that gives new Signal gasoline quicker starting, faster pickup, and quieter, higher anti-knock. That's why we say look to your speedometer for the final measure of gasoline quality. You'll find that the super-powered gasoline that gives you peak performance is also the gasoline that now helps you go farther than ever. New Signal gasoline. And now, back to the Whistler.
Yes, Mark, you crossed the thin line. And once across it, everything fell to pieces. You didn't realize until the last moment, until the instant between the blinding flash of the gun and the plunge into blackness, how much you hated Artis. How far to the other side of the line the murder of Emma Naylor had thrust you. And it was all so unnecessary, Mark, if you'd only read further in Emma's diary, particularly the last entry.
But Mr. Coroner... I don't understand how a woman in Mrs. Naylor's condition could go riding in an automobile.
Frankly, Sheriff, I think she was capable of almost anything. There's no arguing with the results of the autopsy, and of course the entry in her diary is conclusive.
Well, That's good enough for me.
Enter the verdict in the record, clerk. Death by suicide from a self-administered dose of aminol taken in a fit of despondency after being deserted by Mark Naylor, her husband.
That's all, sir?
Yeah, that's all. The case of the death of Emma Naylor is closed.
Mark. He wasn't so weak in the end, was he? But didn't have to go through all of that. So always, the Whistler has such ironic twists of fate. I thought it was pretty ironic that he was actually trying to sell her a burial plot. And then he had to wind up using it later, right? So The Thin Line is kind of like the kind of story where the desert itself feels like another character. It's like dry, suffocating, and inescapable. And it was kind of sad how hard Emma was trying to fight to salvage her marriage and still retain her dignity. And Mark, the coward, was just absorbed with his lust for artists. And that just totally destroyed the marriage. But I don't know how you could expect a marriage to be successful if it's only based on convenience and money. Maybe it works for some people. I don't know. I don't think it would work for me. You know, at first it seems like a classic love triangle, but the brilliance is, the irony is always, Mark didn't have to kill Emma at all. She was on the edge of despair. She was ready to end her life, which is what she thought she was doing by taking that narcotic. But Mark crossing that thin line into murder sealed his own fate. It's like a lesson as old as a Greek tragedy. When desire blinds you, you'll destroy the very thing that you wanted the most. And here it's made even sharper by that diary twist. Mark didn't even bother to finish reading the end of the entry. So, I don't know, think about it. How many times in life do we rush into a decision without getting all the facts? I think we've all been guilty of that. I know I have, many times. Maybe obviously not a murder level, not murder level stakes, but still, I think you guys know what I mean by that. And Mark's tragedy is a reminder that sometimes patience just finishing that, you know, next page might save you from total disaster. I don't know the actors in this episode. It wasn't mentioned, so I can't really get into who they were. But I'll give you some information about the writer, Buckley Angel. The Thin Line was written by Buckley Angel, and he was a prolific writer in the mid-20th century radio and television drama. He was born in Manchester, England on September 9th, 1907, and he made it all the way to the year 2000. He contributed to that awesome radio drama Suspense, and he was also he directed the adventure serial called The Adventures of Frank Race. I think it's more of a like a insurance drama. I haven't heard that show before. So maybe you guys can tell me a little bit about that. I'd like to hear those episodes. And television, he had his fingerprints all over mid-century westerns, crime dramas, the show Rawhide, Laramie, Death Valley Days, Mr. and Mrs. North, Boston Blackie. I love Boston Blackie. The Cisco Kid, and also Judge Roy Bean, just to name a few. Writers like Angel didn't just hand in a script and call it a day. Radio writers often had to think in sound. They had to imagine the creak of the door, the crunch of desert gravel, the echo of a gunshot off of canyon walls, because the soundscape was the stage. That's why these shows still hold up so well, because you just use your imagination and it puts you there. And let's figure out what was happening January 7th, 1946. When the Thin Line aired, America was just beginning the long road from war to peace. Soldiers were coming home in droves. They were starting families and using the GI Bill to go to college or buy homes. Strikes and shortages dominated the headlines. Steel workers, auto workers, miners demanded higher wages as the inflation threatened to erode their wartime savings. The Cold War was stirring. Only days later, the very first session of the United Nations would meet in London, while Americans watched Soviet moves in Europe with growing suspicion. And on the home front, people were hungry just to be normal. Crowded theaters, filling dance halls, and turning up the radio at night for shows just like The Whistler. And I could imagine how that would be. It was so horrific for those few years, and just to get a taste of normalcy, I can only imagine. So just close your eyes and imagine how it would be. You finished your supper. It's 1946. Maybe you've picked up the evening paper. Headline is mentioning the steel strikes or Truman's new policies. You settle into your chair. You twist that radio dial. And then the eerie whistle and voice of the Whistler just cuts through the room, drawing you with this episode into the desert, into the lives of Mark, Emma, and Artis, and into a chilling reminder that sometimes the scariest betrayals out there are not outside of the world, but inside your own home. If your grandparents or great-grandparents were alive then, this may have been exactly how they spent their nights, huddled around the radio, hearing this very story for the first time. And that wraps up tonight's journey across the thin line of love, betrayal, and consequence. This is Mel, and like the Whistler, I know many things, and I'll be there to share the next one with you next week. Take care, you guys, and I love your feedback and comments. It helps me on how I should do the show. And on that note, I will sign off.